CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to another fascinating personality who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here is Steve Klein.
T.S. Eliot said, "Only those who risk going too far can possibly find how far they can go." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who have gone far. Our first playmaker believes architecture successfully resolves three competing forces: form, function, and economics. Well, our next playmaker is the number one cheerleader for South Lake, Texas. With us today is the principal of a company who knew as a child he wanted to be an architect and knew the company he wanted to work for. While our next co-owner has increased her publishing company's customers by over 400%. These great playmakers are Tipton Housewright. Tip is principal of OmniPlan. And Laura Hill. Laura is co-owner of Downey Publishing and mayor of Southlake. And we're going to begin today's show with Laura. After spending 14 years in hotel food and beverage management, Laura Hill joined the family directory business in 1995. Founded in 1987 by Wallace Downey, Downey Publishing had 12 directories with 3,000 customers. During Laura's 20 years with her family business, the company has grown to $9 million in revenues and serves over 13,000 customers in 42 directories. In 2011, Laura was elected to the Association of Directory Publishers Board of Directors. After just 2 years, she was elected chairman of the board in 2013, becoming the first female chair elected in the association's 100-year history. And in May of this year, Laura was elected as the first female mayor in the city of Southlake's 50-year history. Well, Madam Mayor, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You received your BS in English and Economics from Randolph College in Virginia. We talked a little earlier before the show started, but talk about how you got in the hotel business and then what caused your move to Texas.
Well, like a lot of kids in college, I had to make money, and the way I made money was waitressing, and I always thought I knew more and knew better than my boss. And so my father said to me one day, "If you know so much, why don't you get out there and do it yourself?" And that's eventually what led me to the hotel industry right out of college.
So you were a waitress. Were you working in the hotel industry prior to college, or did you want to go into hotel management?
During the school year, I waitressed in the cafeteria on campus, but during the summers, I worked at the local Ramada Inn, and I was a waitress there.
So that's where you got your
start. And I just loved the whole vibe in the hotel, people checking in, people checking out, meeting people from all over the country. I really like that.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the hotel and restaurant business is all about customer service.
Yes.
And we're going to go there a moment. We talk about your company and talk about being mayor. It seems like that just kind of grabbed you. You enjoy people.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I like to talk a lot. I've always liked to talk a lot. And I like meeting new people and finding out what I have in common with them. And I think the hotel business really gives you the opportunity. I tell people, you plan parties. You have fun. You participate in other people's events. Even if you're just a bystander, you're there and you're part of the fun.
That's right. Most cases, people go to hotels because they want to, or restaurants because they want to. Mm-hmm. And you're helping with that fun. That's a great attitude to have. Well, let's go to the second part of the question. You were not in Texas, but you apparently received a phone call from your father.
Yeah.
What happened next?
Well, I'm the oldest child, and my dad had started his company back in 1987 and decided that he needed help. So where did he go was to his oldest child.
Now, you had your career going already.
Yes, I'd been in the hotel industry for 14 years. So I was enjoying what I was doing, running hotels, and my dad said, "I need you with the family business." And I will say he guilted me into it. He's 84. I work with my dad every single solitary day, and we still laugh about it. But he drove all the way from Texas to Langley Air Force Base in Virginia to put the squeeze on me. And so my family, we packed up and we moved to Texas.
And that was about 20 years ago.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about your mayoralship in a moment, but you have increased the business tremendously over the years. What did you do to put that in place? Was there a plan to do this, or this happened just from what you were doing?
Well, the Yellow Pages today, people go, "Wow, people still do the Yellow Pages?" Absolutely. As you said, with over 13,000 customers. Now, my dad did a very smart thing when he started the business, and he scoped our books to be in very rural areas, and they are county directories. And so the the majority of our business is in Oklahoma and Arkansas, but we also do a lot of business in Texas, in more rural areas. And so what happened was the opportunity, once you have salespeople and they're going in every single year and calling on your clients in person, you can exponentially grow with where your customer serves. So if you have a plumber who's a customer who has two trucks, and then he grows to three and four and five, he's reaching out to more counties. So we grew with our customers.
And this is a book that's a living book. People keep this in front of them, using it all the time, as compared to some of the people in larger metro areas that don't use the Yellow Pages quite as much.
Right. Well, our customer is mom and pop businesses primarily. Our areas are oftentimes places where, you know, using smartphones is great, but not if you don't get high speed service. So the book is easy for people to pick up, and they know the businesses. So they want to buy tires from Joe, and they want to get their transmission, you know, fixed by Harry. So there's a real desire to shop local. Of course, we're online. We have a phone app, but it's really the person who wants to shop locally.
And for a lot of your customers, I'm sure it's about the only place they can advertise to make sure they get in front of their customers too.
Oh, absolutely. Because we're in every house, we're in every business in that community. And we also support the community. We support the football teams and we support the local chambers.
I'm going to talk about how you do that in just a moment. Let's talk about you being mayor of Southlake. What was the impetus? We talked about this before, but talk about how you moved in that position.
Well, I was always really involved in politics when I was in college. But when I moved to Southlake, it was the first time I wasn't a military wife, so I knew I was going to be here permanently. And I actually got a notice in my mailbox. I had just moved into my brand new house telling me there was going to be a new development down the street. And if you want to find out about it, come down and find out about it. And there was no turning back after that. I got the bug.
And you became a city council person about 2004, 2005?
Right. Yeah, I served. I ran for the first time in 2004, and then I served two terms after that where I was unopposed. We have term limits in Southlake. So I sat out for a couple of years, came back in 2011 unopposed, and then ran for mayor.
And you have this position for how long?
3 years. So I was just elected in May. And so I'll serve for 3 years, and then I have the option to run again for three more years.
And how many terms can you run?
Two maximum.
And then you could sit out and rerun again if you want to.
Yeah. I heard mayor's pretty tough. I'll be pretty worn out.
I'm sure you will be. Well, let's go back to Downey Publishing. Because as you mentioned, people don't think much about the Yellow Page, especially in a big metro area.
Correct.
It's unique in a smaller area. But your staff gets very involved with all your customers, too. That's part of it. But you also do something unique in terms of your covers. Let's go there. We'll come back to your staff. How do you develop your covers for your phone books?
Oh, great. Thanks for asking. Well, one of the most important things to my dad and I, because we've been fortunate to become so very successful, is to give back. And so philanthropy has been really key to us. And one of the things we talked about was what can we do in the communities that we service to really make an impact? So we started, it started as a cover contest, and it turned into an entire program called Art for Education. And we run contests in all of the rural schools for the teachers, for the kids, to do the cover of our directory. And that's, you know, 42 different directories that are coming out every single year. And we're awarding money to each of the winners and to their teacher for their art program. That money goes right back into the schools. And we use that artwork to promote the local children. We use the runners-up artwork in the directories. And so there's a real feeling of, you know, community excitement when the new directory comes out.
And it sounds like everybody knows about this, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And they know what's going on.
Absolutely. We've gone into businesses, and they said, hey, I need 10 more copies. That's my grandson's picture on the cover. So people get very excited, and we have an entire radio advertising program that talks about the winners and talks about their school and their teacher. So it's become a real important part of the communities that we service, and we've been doing it for over 10 years now. So it's become we've donated a lot of money, and we're happy to do it.
But you're part of the community by doing that.
Absolutely.
And it's something they look forward to. Well, how large is your staff of salespeople to go out?
I have my entire staff is 66. I have 46 of those are actual salespeople that live in the communities that we service. So we go in and see each of our customers in person every single solitary year. And we're also doing mobile marketing for some of our customers. We're doing websites for our customers as well as providing their Yellow Pages is advertising.
We also saw something new, the Saver magazine.
Yes.
How does that tie in with the Yellow Pages?
So many of our customers have said, hey, can you, you know, I need more. I need you to come in and see me more, put out another directory. We can only put out one
a year. I want to spend more money with you.
Yeah, please. So I will find a way for you to spend more money with me. So what we did is we came up with the idea of getting into the coupon business, which many others have done. But we have the base. We have, you know, as you said earlier, we have over 13,000 customers that we have a relationship with. We go and see them in person every single solitary year, and they trust us. We've been around for a long time. So to go in and say quarterly, you can run a coupon to advertise your business depending on the seasonality of your business has been huge for our customers.
Well, coming back to philanthropies being very important too, you've done a lot, you've been involved in a lot, but you've also developed some programs too. Tell us about SPARK.
Oh, thank you. Actually, we had a meeting last night. We had over 80 parents at the meeting. So SPARK stands for Students and Parents Against Risk to Kids. And I started that back in 2007. I was a new council person then. And I was looking for a way to help parents deal with, it really started out with issues of drug and alcohol, but more importantly, what was happening with the internet back there, because the internet was really a new phenomena for kids getting involved and getting in trouble. So what we do is we bring in experts, free programs, so parents can come and learn what just signs to watch for, just get better educated so they can go home and have conversations with their kids. It could be about bullying. It can be about drugs. Last night it was the troubles that tweens can get into. And we actually had our resource officers from the school come and talk to the parents about what they're seeing at that age in those schools. And so it gets a real dialogue back and forth, and parents then go home and they know what to ask and they know what to talk about, and rather than waiting and just hoping that your child doesn't get into any trouble.
Have you seen the impact this has had over the last 8 years?
Oh, gosh. It's been amazing impact. It's actually led to me serving on the Recovery Resource Council at Tarrant County Board because we brought them in to do a program, and that led to a partnership where they've helped dozens of families in our community. You would think that a very high-end community like Southlake wouldn't be necessarily willing to talk about problems that their children have. But we totally acknowledge that our kids are like kids all over this country. And we have to talk about the problems and we have to deal with the problems. But we've helped children and families in situations of depression, attempted suicide. We've had all the tragedies in our community that other communities have had, but we've really tried to be proactive to stop some of that.
Absolutely wonderful what you're doing. So tell everybody how they can get a hold of Downey Publishing.
Oh, well, DowneyPublishing.com is our website, and you can see all of the directories that we have and where they serve our customers. And then we're on Facebook, and we're, you know, easy to get in touch with. Just email us or give me a call.
And you can get the website address again, and which is DowneyPublishing.com, and the phone number on our website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Laura, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks. It was a pleasure to be here.
Laura Hill is the co-owner of Downey Publishing. She also is the mayor of Southlake. Don't go away. We have more. We're going to talk architecture in the more or less middle of Dallas. We're going to talk to Tip Housewright. Tip Housewright is the principal of OmniPlan. Back with Tip right after this.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at WOKC.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. Operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk architecture. We have Tip Housewright, a fellow of the American Institute of Architects. He joined OmniPlan more than 30 years ago. In his role as principal, he leads a wide variety of project types, including regional retail and mixed-use projects, innovative churches, and higher education projects. Founded 59 years ago, OmniPlan is a Dallas-based architecture firm committed to design excellence. Now, Tip's work is characterized by his passion for creating memorable spaces that connect with the communities. Well, Tip, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, in 1965, and I mentioned this at the very top of the show, the construction of a building caused you to pursue your career in architecture. What was that building you saw?
Well, it was North Park Center in Dallas, a fantastic shopping center that just always resonated with me. Just not so much the shopping, just the space, the light and the materials and the just the whole experience of being there really impacted me. And fast forward many years, and I worked for the firm that originally designed that center.
Was that a coincidence, or did you make that plan that you want to join up?
A little bit of both, a little bit of coincidence and serendipity, and also a little bit of a plan. So I'm delighted to be there.
When you first saw North Park, was it in the process of being built, or was it built already and you were walking through?
I am old enough to remember when it was being built, and the Blackland Prairie being leveled and the building being built. I absolutely remember that.
Now, the history I've read, it was a cotton field or an area back then. Raymond Nasher put all that together.
Right.
And OmniPlan was the architect for that building.
That is correct.
And continues to work with North Park, because North Park has gone through some changes over the years.
Well, it has. And I think that's one of the testaments to the architecture, is the architecture has endured and has served the property very well, despite the dramatic changes in the retail business and in the city around it. And we're very proud of what we've created there.
I know tenants have changed, and parking lot has changed, and the remodeling has gone on, but the infrastructure is still North Park.
The infrastructure is still North Park, and I was privileged to be part of the team that doubled the size of the center and created the new North Park that we know today, and part of a team that continues to think about what the future might be there.
When people think about Dallas, there's a lot of things they talk about, but people that shop know North Park, and they come from all over the world.
They do. Probably the iconic shopping destination in the entire Southwest, and one of the leading centers in the country, if not the world.
Well, we talked about how you got started with OmniPlan. What do you actually do for the company as a principal?
Well, I lead the firm. My role as president and CEO is I need to lead the firm, prepare the firm for the future. I do a lot of new business development. The scale of our practice is such that I can still maintain a connection to my projects and clients. I don't sell work and walk away. I sell work and do the work. In our practice, I call it a team sport. It's not an individual sport, and so I'm involved in coaching and leading the team to do our work.
So you really have two jobs. You can. It sounds like you still enjoy out bringing in business and working with clients.
I certainly do.
But also developing your people.
I do. Yes. Yes.
As an architect, is there any favorite building you have in Dallas outside of North Park Mall?
Well, probably my favorite building, and I think a lot of my colleagues would say the same, is actually in Fort Worth. It's the Kimball Art Museum.
Dallas-Fort Worth.
Kimball Art Museum is certainly a favorite of many, many architects. It's just a wonderful, wonderful building, beautiful building. A little closer to home, I'm a big fan of the Nasher Sculpture Center, which is only a block from my office, but a beautiful, beautiful building downtown.
As I mentioned to you before we started, I'm nowhere near an architect. I have no idea what you do, but I can look at a project and say, that looks beautiful, but I have no idea how you got there. That's the magic of it, starting from nothing and creating that.
Right. Yeah, the process is really, really enjoyable. It's exciting. It's exciting to talk to a client about an idea, and it's just words, and they're describing what they want, and then you start sketching things on a cocktail napkin and say, well, how about this, and how about that, and you start to study, and it develops, and it unfolds, and it matures into a design, and then you break ground, and then you build it, and then maybe the greatest reward in our profession is to walk into the finished product and compare it to the original vision and celebrate the completion of it. That's really rewarding. I consider myself very fortunate to be in a business like that where it has such a tangible result at the end of the process.
One of the questions I want to ask you is about your passion, so hold that for a second. But I would think that as you're working with your clients, that you need to know them because you need to get in their head.
Right.
Because the architecture, and I don't know architecture, but the architecture almost is a embodiment of what their thoughts and attitudes
are. Well said. Very well said. It is absolutely an embodiment of their vision, their passions, their desires, where they want to go with their organization or their family or whatever we're building this building for. But yes, being able to listen and understand that as opposed to just delivering what you did the last time for the last client. That's what we really want to avoid. We want to deliver a unique solution each time.
Everything is unique. And that's
right.
Where I talked about the passion. You correct me if I'm wrong, but my guess is that's part of your passion and being able to do that.
It is, absolutely, to be able to do that. And at the top of the show, you mentioned sort of this three-part tension or dichotomy, whatever, trichotomy, that is part of our business. You know, is architecture a business? Yes, it is. Is it an art form? Yes, I believe it very much is. Is it a craft? It is. We have to make our buildings stand up. We have to keep the rain out. We have to, provide a firm foundation. So there's art, there's craft, there's business, and it's always moving. It's always dynamic among those three factors.
Well, part of the reason you're here is because I interviewed the CEO of the North Dallas Chamber of Commerce, Bruce Bradford. He gave me a great big picture, and the picture was what's going to hopefully become Midtown, right where Valley View Mall is. How did you get involved in that redevelopment project?
Well, Bruce is a great friend, and Bruce helped us get involved in that. But we had a long history in that district of Dallas working with two of the major property owners at the Galleria and at the Valley View. And it gave us some insight into sort of the DNA of that district. And as Bruce and I talked, I think we developed kind of a mutual trust, and it enabled us to launch into a very public process of planning the 450-acre district, ultimately casting a completely new vision, resetting the zoning, resetting the thoroughfare plan, the parks plan, and putting in place some of the public infrastructure that needs to happen in order to build a new North Dallas.
North Dallas is reinventing itself, especially with the new LBJ as the tollway now goes through there. And this is where Valley View sits right now and around it. This is radio, so we don't have the visual, but tell us what it's going to be like, because the picture is marvelous. But explain it in words.
Well, imagine, let's start with an 18-acre Central Park. It's hard to imagine that in that district, those of you that know it. But imagine an 18-acre Central Park in the middle of the district that creates beautiful green space. It creates a livability and an amenity that's simply not there today. And then allow that park in your mind to create the value that starts construction of new high-rise residential, new office buildings. Those residents need shopping. They need restaurants. They need entertainment. And so it becomes a catalytic vision that over time builds a whole new district, a whole new neighborhood. Imagine new streets lined with trees. Imagine shopping and restaurants that are right up on the street. Imagine no big parking lots, no big box stores, but a true urban district. That's what we're trying to accomplish.
And it seems like this is a little community into itself.
Yes, it is.
You can walk everywhere.
Yes, that is the goal. We're talking about circulating trolleys through the district to make it even more friendly to pedestrians and easier to get around. But at 450 acres, this is roughly the scale of Uptown in Dallas. And it's basically creating that same sort of energy and a walkable pedestrian environment that we have in Uptown.
The way that Bruce described it, and this helped me a lot, it's similar to Clyde Warren Park, what was done there, or maybe even
exactly.
Similar to Central Park in New York.
Exactly. I think all of us have seen the catalytic effect of Clyde Warren Park in downtown Dallas and how it is not only an amenity for the people that are in downtown, It has attracted people from all over the region and given them a new vision for what downtown Dallas really is.
It's going to be marvelous. Well, there are a lot of architectural firms in Dallas. There's a lot of iconic buildings in Dallas that have popped up since I've been here in 1978. It's almost redeveloped ourselves. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest challenge in competition as an architectural firm here in Dallas, Texas?
Well, continuing to bring fresh new ideas to the table. This is a competitive city. There are a lot of smart, very capable people here, and all of my colleagues are competitive. And so being able to get there first to the deal and build trust with the client and bring fresh solutions, those are the things that are certainly a challenge in our business, just like they would be in anyone's business.
And apparently that has worked well over the last 59 years. Well, as leader in your firm, and you mentioned this earlier about dealing with your people, how do you develop the culture for OmniPlan?
Well, first, you hire great people. You're selective when you're interviewing people, when you're identifying candidates. Sometimes you pursue candidates, people that you think should be a part of your firm. So you've got to have great people. Next thing we do is just simply spend time with one another. We have all sorts of social events and activities. Some of them can be kind of silly. Some of them are maybe not silly, but they're great work. For example, we fix up houses in South Dallas once a year, painting. We do food bank drives, things like this. So a wide variety of things where we just simply spend time together, invest time with one another, and we get to know one another better. Then another thing I'm real proud of, I'm an architect, so I have to talk about design, but the way we design our office, there are no private offices, there are no doors, it's completely open door policy, open plan, we're all one big family in a studio, and we see what one another's doing, and I think that contributes to our culture.
There must be some similarity to advertising agencies in that you're both in the creativity business.
Oh, I think so.
And there's a lot of wild ideas you come up with, and it all melds into that finished product.
Right, right. You love to get the wild ideas that you explore and find ways to use those.
Absolutely amazing. Tip, it's this great conversation. It's just fun talking about architecture, especially here in Dallas. But tell everybody how they can get a hold of you on the internet.
Well, www.omniplan.com. It's a real simple address, and love for you to check out our work and our people and our ideas. That would be great.
And there's a lot you can find out about that. Again, it's OmniPlan, OmniPlan.com. Well, Tip, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, thank you, Steve. Enjoyed it.
This has been a tremendous show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.